I first got glasses when I was in the first grade. It was because of the observation skills of Mrs. Yox, my first grade teacher, who noticed that I couldn't always make out what was on the board, that she told my parents it might be time to have my eyes checked. And so I got my first set of glasses in first grade. And I guess since then, just about every other year or so, I've gone in for a checkup. I recently went because I noticed that my glasses weren't always doing real well. If I was looking down on the pages of the book, particularly at the altar, sometimes it was looking a little blurry. So I go in and I tell the optometrist, you know, what I was experiencing. He did the check and, you know, went through and says, yeah, you need to have a slight adjustment to your prescription. I got the new glasses. They were great. And he pointed out, he said, yeah, your eyes have actually improved a little bit since your last appointment. And I said, that's great news. He says, well, that's to be expected of people who've reached middle age. He could have just left it as, that's really good news. But you know, it's one of those things that our physical eyes change oftentimes as we age. Sometimes we develop nearsightedness, sometimes farsightedness, sometimes cataracts. Things that somehow help us not to be able to see quite as clearly as we did once before. Now in the gospel today, we're introduced to the blind man, Bartimaeus. Now Bartimaeus, we know little about him, not a whole lot about his family, but we do know that his fate was pretty much typical for any person blind during his day. He was pretty much consigned to a life as a beggar, totally dependent on the generosity of others. He's out along the road, begging like he would any other day. And he hears the commotion. He hears that Jesus is there. Now you have to picture this in your mind. He doesn't know where Jesus is. He just knows he's there. And he just starts crying out, almost embarrassing those around him. Son of David, have pity on me. Shh. Be quiet. You're making a spectacle of yourself. And he just kept doing it. Son of David, have pity on me. He drew attention to himself. And that's when Jesus calls him over. Call him. Bring him to me. What do you want? I want to see. Isn't that really what we all are asking for in life? We might not use those exact words, but we want to make sense of things. We want to see why things are the way they are. And you know, when we don't quite understand, we can get a little bit distraught, maybe even a little depressed. It makes no sense when we read about someone going into a synagogue in Pittsburgh and just randomly shooting at people. It makes little sense when we read of Christians being persecuted on the other side of the world, being deprived certain jobs, certain rights, and sometimes even being let out and themselves killed just because they refused to deny their faith in Jesus Christ. It makes little sense, the number of lives lost through abortion each day. It makes little sense, the number of people who are deprived of proper housing or struggle with mental illness or who wander our streets homeless. And it's almost like we're saying, Jesus, I want to see. I want to make sense of what my calling is in life. You see, sometimes we can think that our efforts can have little impact, so why even try? But here's the funny thing. When Bartimaeus comes to Jesus, he says, Lord, I want to see. Jesus restores his sight. But the bigger thing that day is he says, okay, now go home. Go be about your business. But from that moment on, Bartimaeus becomes a disciple. He follows him on the way. He sees not just physically when he looks upon, gazes upon Jesus and the rest of the world, presumably for the first time. He sees with clarity that he has a calling. He has a gift. And he follows Jesus on the way. He has a second breath, a second perspective, a renewed, refreshed vision of life. I really believe that we as church, we as individual Christians, shouldn't have a difficulty putting ourselves in Bartimaeus' shoes. Sometimes we go through life and we think we have it figured out. We think that our life is consigned to the state that we're in. Bartimaeus, I'm sure, thought, I'm going to be blind the rest of my life. I'll be a beggar the rest of my life. That's all there is for me. I think we as church had gotten to a point where we were consigned to the idea of this is how we do things. We make sure people get their sacraments. We build buildings. We build institutions. We educate. We feed. We heal. And all those things, good, important. But sometimes we forget what fount that they come out of. And I really believe that we're in an age where the Holy Spirit is working, albeit in some really uncomfortable situations, of calling the church back to the foundation of why we exist in the first place, to draw people to the life and the love of Jesus Christ. It's almost like a second wind, a new wave of God's Spirit working. And I've experienced that in my own life, and it's not been an easy thing. You know, a couple of years ago when we decided to say, we're going to posture ourselves as a community, we're going to look at supporting those things that support the mission that we have as Christians. In the words of Pope Francis, of forming missionary disciples, of seeing ourselves as a church that's not just here to serve each other within the Catholic cocoon, but of being people who take the gospel of Jesus to a larger world. And that can be a little uncomfortable. I know it was uncomfortable for me because I felt like I had almost perfected what it meant to be a priest pastor, of seeing that the bills were paid, the needs were met, the sacraments were given. And it was almost like conversion of heart could be like a bonus. If that happened, good. What happened with Bartimaeus that day? He got his sight, but he was given new life. You know, you look and say, what miserable of an existence that must have been for him in the first century to be blind. Poor Bartimaeus. And we think that the only thing he needed was to have vision restored. But that's not what gave him life. It was being a disciple, of following Jesus, of being a carrier of the Word. I'll confess to you, this past year has been the toughest year I've had as a priest. The number of times I've second-guessed myself. The number of times I've looked and seen like news article after news article reporting on scandal after scandal. Of dealing with the pain of people who've had their past kind of brought back up to the surface and are dealing with old hurts. At one point in my prayer, I'm asking God, should I continue even pastoring this community? I'll tell you what my big thought was there. I was looking at success, my numbers and collections. I saw a decline in membership or a decline in numbers attending at Mass. My heart sank. We noticed a steep decline in our offertory, particularly at the end of August. With the grand jury report in Pennsylvania came out, my heart sunk. We got our finance committee together, and we reduced our budget by almost $250,000. And so we have to pull back. We can't do some of those things that we were hoping to do. And for a period of about 2 months, I never slept through the night. You know how your mind gets racing? And you're thinking, there's all these leaks that are springing. Which one do we take first? Which one do we conquer first? Or just jump off of the boat and say it's somebody else may be able to fix it better? Let me tell you a story about someone I had a meeting with this week. One of my heroes in this community. The gentleman came in to speak with me. His whole life has been a very athletic individual. Coached in college, high school, been a personal trainer. Personal physical fitness was one of the hallmarks of his life. And I'd say it probably still is to a high degree. But several years ago, he was diagnosed with Parkinson's and started to find his body in a state of gradual debilitation. And so he really put his mind to going after the therapies to try to relieve those symptoms, to try to prolong the decay of his body, the damage to his nerves. And he's telling me his story about how he's done these things, and he was struggling with feeling really down, which I could certainly understand, because it seems like things weren't working. But he did research. He found out there was a certain type of boxing that could be therapeutic to people battling Parkinson's disease, the same disease that claimed the life of Pope John Paul II, if you remember. So he learned that. He actually got certified as a trainer in it. And today has 15 people he's working with Parkinson's, teaching them this technique of boxing and helping them come to improvement in their quality of life. And I asked him, I said, do you think you'd have ever thought to do that if you yourself had not been diagnosed with Parkinson's? He says, it would have never crossed my mind. You see, friends, when things happen in our lives, I believe that God does it to give us a clearer vision. When things seem to be a little bit shaky, when the mat seems to be pulled out from under us, that's God's invitation to say, look around. How can this be used for good? You can give up, go into a corner, and just wallow in despair. Or you can look and say, where is God calling me in my vocation? You see, yeah, there are certain vocations that are fixed. Our marriage, our call to holy orders, our consecrated life. But within our vocations, there are always callings. And a lot of those are how we respond to the events that God puts in our lives. I kept praying, God, what do you want? And as late as this week, I'm praying, and you know what the word I got? I'm sitting in the chapel in the rectory. You think I'm letting you off that easy? Proof positive that God has a sense of humor. God doesn't let any of us off easy. Discipleship, vocation, has a price. And it's, are we willing to offer ourselves, our doubts, our insecurities, and every gift that God has given us to see that people come to know Jesus? There's people surrounding Bartimaeus that day. They tried to hush him. "Be quiet," they said. "You're disturbing everyone." He didn't shut up, did he? And as we keep calling out to God, God's going to be faithful in hearing us, answering us, and gifting us with all that it is that we need to move forward. As we conclude this preaching series, dear friends, my challenge to you is to sit with God and ask the simple question, how are you calling me now? Because I think each of us are going to be confronted with the same question that the disciples had to confront. Will you also leave? Will you also run? Will you also deny? It's really a simple answer, isn't it? Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Amen.